It's the Imaginary Dose of Fat, show number 101 for Friday, April 15th, 2016.
From the city that brought you professional wrestler, the Crusher, the original television superstar, Liberace, and cannibal serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer, it's the Imaginary Dose of Fat Show, recorded here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And now it's my pleasure to introduce to you the host for tonight's little circus, Sven and Gomez.
And welcome, everybody.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. Let me please introduce you to the colorful Mr. J.K. Liven.
And may I pivot it and hear to the dulcet tones of our house band, Smooth Evil, led by our maestro amigo, Chris Daisy.
Hey, guys.
The Weekly Dose of Fat is brought to you by the Surly 24-Pack Rack.
Surly racks are made from crumbly steel and just like their frames and forks.
Learn more about bikes and freedom at surlybikes.com.
All right, JK, what do we have on the show this week?
We start the show with the event of the week, which is one of the biggest Facebooking races every spring, the Paris-Roubaix.
Oh, I remember this one time at Paris-Roubaix.
That's this weekend?
Yeah.
Hey, but can we please let JK finish telling us what's on this week's Imaginary Dose of Fat?
Yeah, kill Miz. We chat with a pair of special guests, the winners of the White Mountains 100 from Team 907, Head Cycling, 45 North, Megan Elf, and Will Ross. We check in with the Fatty Farm Field Report, brought to you by Quiring Cycles. The Quiring Triple B is the fattest ride on two wheels, featuring the new generation of 5.05-inch tires. Visit QuiringCycles.net to see the next level of bicycle exploration. We'll take calls from our listeners about who they would nominate for the Mountain Bike Hall of Fame. Our fifth caller will receive a new Surly Rally Sports Package. Plus, every caller gets a sample tin of Uncle Dick's bead slip, plus ellipses. We put our 2-3 cents in on the nominations ourselves. And we'll wear it here. We'll wear it again. We'll weigh beard trimmings and award a fabulous prize package. You put those words together. I see weigh and beard, and I go with wear.
You know what time it is?
Make a bird noise.
I'm terrified of birds, so I don't like to summon them.
It's time for the event of the week, the Paris-Roubaix. And on the line, we've got the race director, Mr. Rick Plight. Welcome to the show, Rick.
How are you?
We are already on fire tonight.
En fuego. So, Rick, you got the big shindig this weekend, my man.
I do. It's a big one this year, biggest ever.
So how many humans actually race in this gigantic free-for-all?
Well, we had just a touch over 3,000 last year. We've still got about 15, 20 hours left for registration, and we're just a touch over 3,000 right now. So,
wow.
I don't think we'll hit our sellout of our max of 3,500, but we might be looking at 31 or 32 by tomorrow night.
That's a lot of bikes. Yeah. Is there a fat bike division in this shindig?
There is. There's a 36-mile and a 22-mile version, and we added the 22-mile this year. We have 87 people in the 36-miler, and we got so many requests last year to have a shorter distance, and we got 43 in that category, so 130 fat bikers.
Wow. Yeah, I think they noticed up at the Fat Bike Berkey that the majority of the fat bikers went for the longer run.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go and do it, go and do it.
Exactly. Yep. And it's hardly anything but snowy right now, so.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. So I read that they just installed signage on the course so people can come and ride the famous Berry-Roubaix cobbles any day. Did you have a hand in that getting set up that way?
We did. We've been trying for a couple of years and been working with the city and the county and finally got permission to do it this year and approval from council. And we had to pay for it, of course. So, but the city was really helpful in trying to help us get a grant to do a portion of it. So it cut our expenses a little bit.
Yeah, with getting all those people over to France, it's got to cost a ton of money.
Well, this is actually Hastings, Michigan.
Right on.
And I would think that, man, with the amount of, it's beds and heads. Cyclists, you know, they drink expensive beer and drink good coffee and eat lunch and, you know, sleep in hotels.
Exactly.
So, Hastings.
There's people there riding the course all year round.
Right on. I know I'm going to go there.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm going to buy a sandwich. And maybe some gas.
Buy a sandwich. Well, we'll have a link in the show notes, and good luck with the event.
Yeah, man.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Rick.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
That's top of the hill, boys.
That was Rick Plight, and we're at the top of the hill
from the Berry-Roubaix over there.
We have quite the leftovers of Oster Blues beer.
You want me to have a beer? I'll have a PBR.
Greg's going for the PBR.
It's the last one, though. We have quite a pile of beer from the Show 100 shindig.
I know. I can't believe that our friends couldn't drink 15 cases of beer.
Some of them were crawling out of there.
I tried my best.
We didn't really talk about the funny shit that went down that night. Holy crap.
Well, I don't know if it was directly linked to the beverage, but I know it had nothing to do with the beverage. Trying to do the bucket ball.
Oh, man. I got creamed so bad in bucket ball.
I was able to hang until one other person showed up.
Yeah.
I was like in the first wave. I'm like, and I'm out.
You guys are all having fun over there.
I did not have the dexterity to do that whatsoever.
It was being Mr. Responsible cleaning up the place.
It's fun.
It wasn't until I got over to JMO's. Yeah. Oh, that was fun. By the way, we should probably take a break because special guests Will and Megan are calling in.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Jumbo USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Jumbo's American-made Ursa Major at JumboUSA.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
And now, please welcome to the radio program the 2016 White Mountains 100 champions from Team 907, Head Cycling, 45 North Tires, and whatnot, Megan Shelf and Will Ross.
Hey, welcome to the radio program, you guys.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, let's start with congratulating you both on your glorious victory at the White Mountains 100.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It was a brutal race.
Yeah, this is the first time Megan's been on the show. I know we've had Will on the show a couple times before. We even coerced him into coming into the studio. So let's start out talking to Megan.
Yeah, so Megan, awesome. Do you ride one of those new 907 team whiteouts that weigh like 18 pounds? Are you riding one of those old hand-me-down heavy 22-pound whiteouts?
Well, first of all, my bike is anything but heavy. I'm on a whiteout. I'm on a 907 carbon whiteout with the head big deal wheels. With my studded Dillinger 4 tires in my frame bag, it comes out at about 22 pounds. But like I said, it's super light, and it was built for racing, so it was a perfect bike for me to have for the White Mountains.
Cool. Well, why don't you share the story of how the White Mountains 100 played out from the front of the women's field?
Awesome. So in the beginning of the race, I just stayed with the competition for about the first 40 miles. I wanted to see what all the other girls' strengths and weaknesses were. I wanted to scope it out. A lot of the women I had never ridden with before, so I just wanted to see how I was feeling, see what the course looked like. And I knew my strength was going to be on the hills, so around mile 40, I made my move. And at this time, it started dumping snow. We had snow on our heads, just on our gloves. It was building up, coming down really fast. I even had to walk a couple miles around the pass. It was snowing so hard, and I saw the leaders walking, so that was nice to know I wasn't alone in that. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of fun. At the pass, you could see the leaders' tracks start to squirrel around, searching for the hard trail somewhere under there, and you could tell they were having a hard time figuring out exactly where they should be riding, falling down, making snow angels all over the place, which made the ride seem totally epic, which was super fun out in the middle of the mountains. So I rode by myself for another 40 miles from there, and around mile 80, I caught up to Kevin Breitenbach, which mm-hmm. was super motivating to see another racer, and it was he's just a breath of fresh air. It was fun to ride with somebody when I was kind of getting into my darkest moments of the ride, starting to feel tired, starting to feel like I'm about ready to get back to the finish. And then at mile 90, I just felt another little wave of energy, and I was able to take off and finish the last 10 brutal, hilly miles on my own to the finish. It was a ton of fun. I had a really good time. I learned a lot about riding an epic ride in the middle of the mountains in Alaska. It was awesome.
Man, it sounds like you were out there by yourself for a long time, too.
Yeah, it was, and that's not usually how I do any of my training rides. I think it was both good and bad. It was kind of nice for me to get out there on my own and really face the elements, but it was also kind of lonely. So when I saw Kevin, it was really great to just remember that I'm in this huge, awesome race with some amazing, talented athletes, and he was a breath of fresh air to just help me have fun and finish out with a great, fun race.
All right, cool. Kevin's good egg.
Awesome.
We like Kevin.
A good egg.
So let's bring Will into the conversation. I know Will rides one of those new 18-pound Team 907 with the head wheels and the carbon race face next curb feelers on there. So my question to you, Mr. Will Ross, is where do you think that we can drop a little more weight from the fat bike?
Man, I have no idea. They're all pretty light. But yeah, I do the short races on my team edition bike.
Uh-huh.
Just because it's so light and so stiff. Mm-hmm. But I race the longer races on the standard whiteout.
Wow.
It's a little more forgiving, which is nice after about, 80 miles.
Wow.
90 miles.
I'm flabbergasted. But at this point, I think that it's time to go off the script and say Will Ross was the author of the best April Fool's article that we've ever published.
What are you talking about?
Your Ascent of Denali. People actually bought into that hook, line, and sinker, dude. So well played.
Oh, yeah. I get asked every day, how on earth am I planning on doing that?
How's the training going, Will?
Well, winning the White Mountains 100 is one way to get up there.
Yeah, indeed.
I don't know if that's something you can even train for.
Well,
but it was pretty entertaining to write and kind of collaborate with Head and 907 and 45 North and get everyone on board with it. It was a lot of fun to write.
Did
me almost want to do something like that.
Did Andy from Head help you out a little bit with the writing?
No, I just wrote it and asked him if it was okay.
Oh, okay. Right on, because he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
all those guys are all awesome.
And good, nice Photoshop work, too. A lot of people complimented
you
on your Photoshop work.
Yeah, some of that was our own media guy, John Lynn, and some of it was me just hacking away at
nice.
My own.
Yeah, those Dillinger 7s, man. Those, that
no,
shot.
The Willinger. The Willinger 7.
The Willinger 7. Oh, my mistake.
Someday. Someday.
Trademark copyright 2016 Will Ross.
Oh, man. So Enough talk about hardware, right?
Yeah. How about your race story from the White Mountains 100 there, Will?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was a really brutal race. You know, it kind of separated into that lead pack pretty quick, just because the race has so many climbs in it. Yeah, it's easy to separate. So yeah, we got into that lead pack of Tim Burnson, David Ortega, Tyson Flaherty, Kerry Grumlot, and then Megan's husband Josh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all rode together. Unfortunately, Josh was having some tire issues and just leaky tires. Mm. So he kept having to chase back, which, had he not had to do that, it might have been a different outcome in the end. But yeah, we all rode together for really the entire race. We were all, like Megan said, she could see all of our footprints walking up the pass where it was just dumping snow.
Mm-hmm.
It must have snowed like 8 inches just while we were hiking up the pass. And then it was kind of comical. We were all just looking around at each other and laughing. And then you'd walk along and you couldn't even see the trail. And like Tim took a wrong step and fell into a tree well. I had to help him out of that. And then, yeah, you'd be walking along and suddenly sink up to your hip in snow.
Oh, man.
And, then it made the downhill off the backside of the pass really entertaining because, yeah, you'd be riding along and you couldn't see the trail. We were first tracks, no snow machine tracks or anything, and it was that really flat light.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be riding along and then you'd ride off the trail and not know it, and your front wheel would sink to the hub and you'd go over the bars and...
Yeah, it's too bad you didn't have the...
at you and you'd get back on and go.
Got to get the prototype Willinger 7s out for that.
I know. But it was the first time where I've been on a downhill where the smaller, lighter riders had an advantage. Mm. The three of us in the group that were all under 150 pounds rode away from everyone over 150 pounds.
Mm.
Just because we weren't punching through the snow as much.
Interesting. So now you had said that Tim was just he would fight back every time you'd put time in, that Tim would just battle back.
Yeah. So we got a gap on him after the pass, and then rode into the checkpoint. Us three little guys rode into the checkpoint, and it was nice because we had about a minute gap, so we could spend an extra minute resting at the checkpoint. And Tyson was the last one into that checkpoint and the first one out, so we knew he hadn't gotten any rest. But Tim stayed at that checkpoint for an extra couple minutes, and we thought he was gone. We didn't think we'd ever see him again. And sure enough, just before the 80-mile checkpoint, here comes Tim, and suddenly he's back in it. And not only that, suddenly he looked like he was the strongest one in the race.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, like 5 miles to go, there's this hill called the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something like 800 vertical feet in like 3/4 of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really steep. And I attacked going into that. And we were still all together. And it kind of blew up the group. But then I kept spinning out, so I stopped to let air pressure out. And then they all caught me. And then, yeah, Tim, of course, came back. Then I attacked one more time and at the top of that hill, and he just kept, he never got out of sight. He wouldn't go away. He just kept closing in.
And then?
But yeah, Tim's been a good guy to learn from all year. He's he's given me a lot of advice in the endurance races, and then just watching him in the endurance races, he's so efficient. Doesn't make any mistakes. He's usually super fast through all the checkpoints. I still have never even seen him eat or drink during a race.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He's the Terminator.
So then somehow you manage to get a gap somewhere. Where did that take place? Where did it, or did
it was,
you, or did
yeah,
you just...
about four miles to go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, you think it's going to be all downhill from there at 4 miles to go, because you just climbed this huge hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. There were like three uphills, and it was devastating every time I'd look around the corner and see a big hill in front of me and Tim right behind me. And
from my viewpoint, having nobody chasing me, that was still the hardest part of the race for me. after I climbed the wall, I was like, oh, I'm golden. I'm done with the climbing. But those last 5 miles were so hard because it was just hill after hill. And it was the part of the course that we had ridden in the beginning before we made our big lollipop loop. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to be riding. There wasn't that much downhill, but it is really a lot of uphill in those last 5 miles, which was, I'm amazed. I can't imagine having somebody on my tail in that part. You got to stay so mentally strong.
I think we were both, we talked about it after the race, and we were both, like, every corner where we'd come around and see a hill, just swear to ourselves, screaming in pain.
But silent. And then you had glorious victory in the end. Well, congratulations. So let's close this interview down with one final three-part question for both Will and Megan, but let's give Megan the final word. So, Will Ross, during the Alaskan summer, what bike do you ride? What kind of racing or events are on your schedule? And what type of alternative recreational activities do you indulge? So first, what bike?
So the bike, I've got a couple. My favorite's probably my 907 slider that I've got set up with like a Gates belt drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of my play bike. I go ride the beaches, get it all sandy and salt watery. And it's a bike that I feel like I can do that with.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a single speed with the belt drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, so that one's just a lot of fun. But then the business bike, the race bike, I'm on a Scott Scale 900 RC. So like a 19-pound hardtail.
So cool. Then
so it's a business bike.
Right. What kind of events or races do you ride that Scott bike at or in?
Mostly just our local Arctic Bike Club mountain bike races. There are, yeah, they're like your typical cross-country mountain bike races. Lots of single track.
Bicycle NASCAR, off-road NASCAR.
Bicycle off-road NASCAR.
There you go.
We do turn both right and left, though.
Oh, that's true. And
and then I think I'm going to try the Missoula Montana Pro XCT this year. So try a mountain bike race with the big boys of mountain biking.
Yeah.
See how I do there.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing how you do
that. Good luck with that.
Yeah. And last, do you have any alternative recreational activities? And try and remember, this is somewhat of a family show.
But yeah.
Do you whitewater raft?
I do a lot of mountain running. That's a big part of my training.
Uh-huh.
Alaska is the perfect place for it. Especially Anchorage. We have probably 15, 20 mountains just in the backyard 5 minutes from home that we can go play on. So I do that and then occasionally dabble in an Xterra triathlon, the off-road style.
Cool.
Groovy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Will. We basically got the same set of questions for Megan.
Awesome.
What do you ride in the off fat bike season?
Well, in past years, I've ridden the hardtail mountain bike, but this year I'm just working on, I'm in the process of building up a Norco Revolver full suspension mountain bike, which should be fun since I've never been on a full suspension mountain bike. It'll be cool to see if I can fine-tune some of my technical skills. I've always been kind of like a suffer rider. I've been able to haul up the hills pretty hard, but I still have to work on getting over the roots and all the technical stuff. So I'm hoping that this new bike will kind of help me find a new side of mountain biking to help me
get in touch
improve
with your
my skills.
With your Anne Carolyn Chasson. She's a big down.
Exactly. So I plan to do the local mountain bike races as well. We've got some good series with some good competition up here. And Josh and I are planning on taking a trip back to Wisconsin this summer. And I'm going to try to squeeze one of the Wisconsin off-road races in.
Nice.
I think there's one in Eau Claire when we're going to be home. So we'll hopefully sneak that in.
Very cool.
That's a very big series.
Yeah,
there's
I'm
a lot of people at those events for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be my biggest, it'll be the biggest race I've done as far as people participating. So I'm excited to give that a try out of state.
Right on. And do you have any alternative recreational activities? Do you like to macrame or
PG. Yeah.
Well, since my husband Josh is a teacher and I stay at home with our 3 and our 5-year-old, he has the summer off, so we spend the summer salmon fishing, halibut fishing, camping, towing our 3 and 5-year-old all through the mountains to Forest Service cabins, and I do a lot of mountain running, same as Will. I've kind of been dabbling in triathlons a little bit, which has been super fun. Yeah, just being outside all day in the midnight sun.
Dabbling? Didn't you get, like, second in your first off-road triathlon?
Thanks, Will. it's been fun to stick my toes in the water and see
just
what that feels like.
Dabbling there on the upper middle level of the podium, you know.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks.
Well, thanks a lot, you guys. It's been a pleasure having you two on the show.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for joining
us this evening.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
Well, all right.
Give us a howdy-do when you're in Wisconsin here.
Yeah, let us know.
We sure will. Awesome. Yeah, I absolutely will.
We'll ride bikes and stuff.
Cool. Yeah, let's do it. That'd be fun.
Right on.
Sweet.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Bye.
What good guests.
Hey.
I love people Will from Alaska.
Will and Megan.
That are from Wisconsin originally.
Why don't we take a quick break here?
We should probably take a quick break.
I think we should take a quick break.
Maybe.
I think we're probably on break then.
So I heard you need a fat bike. Come to Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois. We have all brands. Trek, Borealis, Salsa, Felt, Surly, and more. Yeah, we have all the cold weather gears by 45 North and Bontrager. Keep those fingers and toes nice and toasty. We fix bikes also. So you have any problem? Brakes, gears, suspension? We have the best mechanics in town. So yeah, visit us at ZionCycle.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
And we're back. The Fatty Farm Field Report is brought to you by Quiring Cycle. The Quiring Twipple B is the fattest ride on two wheels, featuring the new generation of 505-inch tires. That's 5.05. That's a big tire.
Big.
Visit QuiringCycles.net to see the next level of bicycle exploration.
So is you think Quiring will be the first to make a Willinger 7 frame?
The Willinger 7.
Yeah. I got a photo a guy sent in about one of Scott's bikes that he got up to Nome, Alaska. Sent up there to him. And it's like apparently fairly soft now. No snow, soft conditions. He's, wet and stuff and riding like a pound and a half in those big monsters.
Wow.
Just floating over the terrain.
So we're about to open the phone lines to the masses here. And Sven has the word on how you can get your prize on.
Birdie is the word. Yeah, you call in guest folks who are winners on today's show, and that's pretty much anybody that calls in between now and 9 p.m. CST. Just send an email to Sven at fat-bike.com with the subject line Show 100 Winner and include in the body of your email your shipping address and the phone number you called in from, because that's how we'll verify you're not a jackass just trying to get free stuff.
Yeah, and you got to do that before the show comes out on Friday, between now and 10 a.m. on Friday morning.
Otherwise, you forfeit all that stuff.
Indeed.
So when you listen to this in the future, then you'll know about this in the past.
Exactly. It's that weird time rip again. Hey, before we rip your time pair, your favorite pair of time jeans.
Damn it, Marty.
We have a for real for this week's show. Bosch and Haybike are sponsoring the very first e-bike fat bike race. No, EMTB race at Sea Otter. And for an editorial comment.
But MTB, fat bikes are MTB, so if they had an E.
That's like dubstep, EDM, EMTA.
So they're having an E mountain bike race at Sea Otter. And for an editorial comment, we go to the fatbike.com e-bike managing editor, Mr. Svenhammer.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
It must be pretty important because the PR guy for the event bumped the announcement to the top of my inbox this morning.
That's because those e-bike guys are like Bible salesmen of every bike show. They're like, please come look at our e-bike. And we say, cool and stuff.
Yeah. Keep on. Keeping on.
That's one hell of a e-bike you got there, cowboy.
I stand by my 1 a.m. e-bike.
You got that big green bike.
I got a black one now, too.
And that's why he's the managing editor.
But it's not going to make its way out to Sea Otter this year. Not with my butt on it, anyway.
Anyway. You know what? We've wandered aimlessly into the Fat Bike Links. There's a lot of good stuff here.
Shugash.
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 Made yeah, they made the Extreme Alaska.
Extreme!
Yeah, some people we know were on the TV news up there.
In Chugach.
Mike Kuriak, my friend Mike Kuriak, he sends me links. He's fat and happy. And, oh, that dude just kills it with the camera. Man, he missed his calling. He was like the Ansel Adams of to date.
Well, that was the Colorado.
Or Mike the Kid Reamer.
No, this is Mike Kuriak.
Yeah, I know.
Different Mike.
But they're both photographic
geniuses. Kid is also has serious pro photo shooter skill sets.
Pro chops.
He should go, Kid and me and you and JK should all get in a van and go to Winnemucca Dunes and herd some pixels onto a camera and ride bikes and shit.
I took a look at those pictures from the Bike Carson dude there, boy.
Yeah.
Those are some sweet, sweet dunes.
Winnemucca.
I don't know if I'm taking my bike out on the salt flats, but that's right around there.
Alaska's first couple of ultramarathon cycling, Heather Best and Jeff Oatley, had a nice article in the newspaper there. And Salsa Ride Cam, speaking of hanging out with our buddy Kid Reamer, we should have a telethon to raise the money so we can go camp with our close personal friends at Salsa Cycles.
It's up there in Wisconsin's Northwoods. You can't really get a better place to ride in the summer.
We can all get freaking salsa tattoos, adventure by bike.
Eat salsa
and chips. That'd be freaking awesome. What else you got there?
Yeah, Sven has gone completely quiet.
Did I hear docking in the background?
Plus I've got just pure comedy gold here in the plus bike links.
Gold, Jerry.
Gold, I tell you. Hey, you know, speaking of cool pictures, that gross Mourn fat bike adventure from the slow biker, there's another collection of a bunch of really cool shots that they went on with white snow stuff in it.
Oh, man. The industry, the bike industry, loves the idea of fat bikes on snow. Not so much on dirt, apparently. In plus bike news, Wolverines are the future of backcountry search and rescue. They're hardwired, friendo. Hardwired to dig 10 feet down in the snow and eat the face off of any survivor. So they just got to nab them right before they eat your face off, and then you're rescued.
So when you're riding your plus bike in the snow, not your fat bike, and you sink through it, Wolverines to the rescue.
Indeed.
So when I ride my plus bike, I have to act like Wolverine from X-Men and just yell at everyone. Snick, snick, snide, and do the berserker attack when I jump off of it.
Have you had a Milverine sighting yet this year?
No.
I have not seen the Milverine yet.
No, it's not shirt rip-off.
Grapes.
We have a Milverine that walks the streets of
patrolling.
The lakefront area patrolling.
Nice.
Yes, Wolverine, but Milverine is Milwaukee. But he's always walking with purpose, and he looks like Wolverine. But it's only
without the
schnick schnick.
So in this article, this Guardian article, they actually say cycling is the new golf. Executives talk about their new carbon fiber crank in front
right?
of.
Well, that's because they need in England especially, they like these very prepared spots that look kind of like golf courses to ride their bikes on.
That's what freaking snow grooming for fat biking is. It's a trap.
It's winter golf with orange tennis balls.
Did you just channel Admiral Akbar? And then NASA supercomputers have nothing to do with bicycles, but I think they should. And then there's bicycle art. And that, my friends, is the Mother Facebookin' link section. Chica-chip-how. And now, for something completely different. It's the special segment. Hey, we got any callers? Buddy. Oh, it's such a good question, too. So right? Let's just start talking about this.
Yeah, because it's the Mountain Bike Hall of Fame.
Dude, and fat bikers, fat bikes are mountain bikes. I think it's high time that some fat bikers got recognized for their... for their addition to the, fabulous mountain bike culture. Sven, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I think if you're going to call in, and maybe you're not, but if you were, you should look at the list already, because if you say anybody's name that's on that list...
Oh, yeah.
That's curtains for you.
Curtains. He was like...
So, after looking at that list, I was like, holy mackerel. Most of the people that I would have thought of from my old 1995 mountain biking days have already been inducted. Like, I don't know. Marty Weigel, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Trail building, club building, mountain bike building, under tunnel riding. Just for 25 years, he's been a fixture in the mountain biking in Milwaukee, Wisconsin area.
When they open the Milwaukee wing of the Mountain Bike Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It'll be maybe the Weigel called the
Weigel wing.
Weigel wing. So I was thinking more, like in the realm of fat biking. There's this guy, Pete Bassinger. He won the ITI six times. Say that six times. Some of the pioneers of fat biking could certainly be thought of. Greg Mattis, fat bike pioneer and owner of Speedway Cycles. Or how about Eric Sovereign or Dave Gray from Surly, the designer of the Pug? How about them apples?
I like that. I like Sov for MC of MTB.
Yeah.
With the megaphone and the circus and sideshow and the bucket ball and...
Yeah, inventor of bucket ball.
Right? Maybe. How many fingers have been broken in bucket ball?
That is it. I got slammed to the ground. Freaking spinner Ryerson took me out so hard. But I think that led us to victory because I went out of the game. Little Kelsey Walsh came in the game. She freaking scored. I cried a little bit on the sidelines, and we won. Thank you very much. So JK, you have the ace high here.
Yeah,
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tom Teasdale.
Gomez says, why didn't you think of him?
I'm like, I had that in the secret script. I have a secret script in my head.
It's called the make Sven look like an idiot script. That's the script. That's the name of it.
Let's trick Sven.
It's Sven. It's Sven now. Sven. It's not Sven anymore.
Sven. well played, old sport.
Yes,
well, played.
Good call. Well,
yeah. And I mean, I'm riding one of his rigs, and...
Well, so is Sven riding.
Right? I know. There's two from 95 right over there. And then I worked with Tom for a long time, all the way right up till he passed away, so...
There's a couple of them over there just past the big pile of beers that I see.
See, and that's where my polar north eyes were looking.
It's all I can see, really.
All I see is this pile of beers, and I'm doing my part.
Are those pinners cold in there?
Oh, yeah.
Pinner coming your way, bro.
Hands. Winner, winner, pinner, dinner.
Oh, yeah. So, guess
so
what?
So much for my not drinking any beer tonight.
Playing. Well, it works. It's medicinal.
Right.
Wait a second.
Oh, crap. I just sprayed that all over the confuser. Nope, it doesn't go down in the little holes in the confuser thingy.
Your computer's probably thirsty. So, if you guys have been paying attention to our, our train of consciousness here, we have a beard shearing, spring shearing contest that we've been taunting you with a very tiny prize package. And today, tonight,
this night of nights,
I have cut my beard off. And if you're really interested, I actually have it on video. Yeah, I went to a barbershop with a video camera.
And a baggy. Like,
what the hell? What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. So, and it's 7.8 grams. So my weight loss program is really kicking ass this week. It's 7.8 grams. And Sven actually has the winner.
And the winner is John Ansel from the Welsh countryside with a guess of 3.772 precision to within 1/1000th of a gram.
Congratulations, Jean. You win like a couple of hats and some t-shirt action and a
whole box of stuff that's coming over to Wales there.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we had guesses ranging from 2.5, I think, about to 55 grams.
55 grams.
Which would be a lot of beard.
Caramba.
We could probably collect more than that at the Uptowner Beard Competition this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Which would explain why JK and I are not shorn yet.
Exactly. I have to sit there and get close to the podium for a fourth year.
I'm just going to stand near it. I'm not, you know, it's just like, I'm.
This is the your year, JK.
No. I did win the what the fuck competition. I got first place in that because they couldn't figure it out. So I got that. I can always lean on that one. But I'd like to be reckoned on the podium. Well, actually, it's a bar tab.
I'd like to quote my friend Adam Blake, as he often would tell his young squire, AJ Turner, "You're a champion." So yeah, I got that
champion.
So are we gonna hang out? Are we gonna close this thing up?
I don't know. Well, somebody could call.
Somebody could call
if they want to win anything.
I know. Yeah. Got like 15 minutes left. So we've been getting some interesting comments on the site. Apparently, we're
gross.
We're not policing our words enough, and people feel like they want to be the word police.
There's just those people that when they get in front of a computer, just don't follow the credo. Don't be a dick.
I know. I'm one of them. But I try not to be, you know, a huge, giant.
Well, if you're going to be a dick, don't act. It's hard to. I was going to have something really damn profound, but then I realized it was absolutely ridiculous.
But then?
My daddy always said, you can't please all the people all the time.
I know.
And if you just take it for the fun that it is and don't try to make this thing too credible or anything.
I know. We lost all credibility.
All credibility.
Because we let somebody say something.
You're close to destroying the bike industry.
The pillars. Already ruined the internet. Now it's all about the bike industry.
First the bike industry. Then the internet.
Thank God we're infiltrating the internet with yet another stupid cycling website.
I know.
Pirate Cycling Network.
Baby steps.
I know. Pirate Cycling Network. Now, does that tell you?
Go ahead and try to find it.
Yeah. maybe, you know, it's an adult site that uses satirical humor and slang and adult subject matter. If you don't like that sort of thing, you know, there are a lot of other sites out there.
Yep. Probably more credible.
Probably.
But probably not anywhere near as fun.
We try and be
now come back to us.
Yeah, have a couple of beers and tune in.
You need like a cuppa. You need a cup of them.
So our show this evening has been brought to you by the Bikes, Parts, and Chaos of Surly Bikes. You can learn more at surlybikes.com.
Hit us up there on that Huda, drop that dom, ask the operator to connect, and then grab your socks and hose and pole at 818-918-2453 anytime, day or night, and leave us a message, you know.
Join us next show where we'll further reveal that we're totally out of our Facebook and minds.
Till then.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.